Usually it's electronic, but I couldn't get the electronics to work with me today. So we'll go the old route with paper. Many of you are like, that's been around for ages, right? But it's new for me, so we'll see how it works. Maybe I'll knock it all off and won't have any clue. But what caught my attention about this video is this, that God uses everyday people like you and me. And a lot of times we think, I wish I could have been David, or I wish I could have been Paul, or I wish I could have been this person or that person, because it would have been really cool to be at that time with Jesus, or be at that certain historical point in the world, or whatever your fancy is. But I wish I would have been this person. But if you think about it like this, God chose those people to be in their time for a specific reason, and he chose you to be in this time for a specific reason. And if, let's just say your person's Paul, because Paul, you know, he did all these great missionary journeys and started churches and won people for Christ. God did not choose him to be here today. He chose you instead. So if you think about it from a different angle, there's no need to want to be anybody else because he uses everyday people. Paul was no different than you and me. He just lived a long time ago. All right? So live by faith. Live your life by faith. But tonight we're going to talk about a passage of scripture that most of you probably are very familiar with. You could probably stand up here and teach a lesson on it yourself. That's great. So don't tune me out when I tell you what we're doing or the passage of scripture. But you can probably guess by the title, Facing the Giants, that we're in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 17. And yes, your brain is correct. It is the story of David and Goliath. Okay? So if you didn't know that, just nod your head and be like, yeah, that's what I was thinking, David and Goliath. Yeah. I had that right here. Got the whole thing memorized. All right. So we can just go now and beat the crowd to Frisch's or whatever it is that we go. All right. So 1 Samuel chapter 17. First slide here that I got for you is this. And I usually require participation. If you remember last time when I did a two-week little mini-series, I had like just pointless trivia questions and made you guys answer. Well, these aren't pointless, but I do have some questions that I'll ask you and want some feedback. So when you hear David and Goliath, what do you think of? Anybody? What do you think of when you hear David and Goliath? Good versus evil? Underdog? Bravery? I saw this. You mean slingshot? All right. Anybody else? What do you think of David and Goliath? Determination? Okay, well, those are all great. I have a little different side to David that I'm going to look at, and you'll hear me refer to him as a middle school-aged kid talking trash, because he does that a lot throughout this passage, all right? He does. He says, hey, Goliath, guess what, dude? And you think he's like a middle school-aged kid, and he's talking all this trash to this Goliath. All right, so we're going to talk about that. Just looking at some different ways that you can look at David and Goliath and how it relates to you and me in our lives and the giants that we face, okay? So we'll move on past that. So many of you, like I said, have heard this before. You know the story inside and out. You know that one of the main characters is Goliath. But I've got some other questions for you. We're going to see how much you know about Goliath, okay? Can you tell me, somebody, how tall Goliath was? 9 feet tall. That is correct. All right. Next question is this. How heavy was the coat that he wore? Very. Yeah. Anybody got a guess? Oh. Thanks. Thanks, sound man. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Next one. How heavy was the top of his staff? 50 pounds? You're reading that somewhere, Joyce. No, I'm just kidding. 15 pounds. Joyce has that right. 15 pounds. So I don't know about you, but when I go bowling, I don't even use a 12-pound ball. I'm like, give me that 8-pound ball so I can try to spin it down the lane. You know, so that's pretty heavy. That's a big size, just that's the end of his staff. That's not his whole staff. That's just the topper, the little ball up top, all right? And then all of his other armor, you can go ahead and throw that up there, all of his other armor together was approximately 150 pounds. All right, so between his coat, the top of his staff, how tall he was, and everything else, I mean, he had a lot of weight that he carried. He was a big dude. That's the point that I'm trying to get across to you. He was a big guy, all right? So he has a challenge that he throws out. He's standing there for 40 days, and you're going to hear that. You're going to hear me say that quite a bit, that he was standing there for 40 days challenging the Israelite army. And he says this, "You send one guy to fight me, and if he wins, then we'll voluntarily be your slaves. But if I win, you'll be our slaves." So I don't know about you, but just looking at it outside of the box, knowing that Goliath probably would win, it's a pretty economical way to do a war, because he's saying, hey, instead of me killing all of your guys, I'll just kill one of them. So he was trying to be economical about it. You know, he said, I'll just take one, and then I'll take the rest of you to be slaves so I can have more workers. All right? Sounds pretty good to me, but there was just one problem. Just one problem. Nobody would do it. All right? Nobody would do it. None of the people would do it. You got the king there. You got all these tough guys that they would probably pick fights back at home. But here, when somebody's saying, hey, just give me one, there's not a single guy that stood up that said he would do it, all right? And here's what I'm going to do with this paper when I'm done with the note, okay? So don't let that distract you. Let's move on to David. Who can give me some facts about David? Youngest son of how many? Anybody remember? Eight. Youngest son of eight of Jesse, all right? He was what? Let's just run through these. What's the next one? He was a shepherd, right? Let's keep going. He was taking some food to his brothers in this passage, and I'll add a little bit to that one, is the Bible tells us that he also took some cheese for the captain, and in my mind, he's trying to suck up, because he's like, hey, I really want to be part of this army, so here's some cheese for you, right? That's just my opinion. I don't know if that's true or not, but because it doesn't tell us. And then at this time, he was approximately like 5'2". So I'm 5'8", so he was shorter than me. And then you have Goliath that's 9 feet tall, which I don't think I can even reach that high. So he's taller than I can reach. And then you have mini-me over here, okay? So let's move on. And I'm going through this fast because I have a lot of stuff. King Saul's plea. After 40 days of Goliath taunting and mocking, Saul says this. He says, whoever will do it, if you win, not only will you be the coolest dude around because none of these other guys will do it, but on top of that, I'm going to give you great riches, I'm going to give you one of my daughters, and your family's going to be tax-free forever. That's a pretty sweet deal. You know what I mean? I shouldn't say you don't have to work for it, because you have to beat Goliath, but he's saying, hey, you're never going to have to worry financially again. You don't have to worry about a wife, because I'm going to give you just one of my daughters. Now, he didn't say if he was given one of the pretty ones or one of the ugly ones, but he's given a daughter nonetheless, all right? And your family's going to be tax-free. Pretty sweet deal. Here's the situation. 1 Samuel 17, verse 24 is where we're going to pick it up. I'm out of breath already. We're going to see how well I can do. All right? We're going to read 24 through 51. Everybody ready? Sweet. Here we go. And the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defile Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David said to the man who stood by him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? Right there, he's talking a little trash again. Who's this uncircumcised Philistine? You know what I mean? Like, who does he think he is? Jeez. And the people answered him and said it this way, so shall it be done to the man who kills him. Now Elab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake to the men, and Elab was angered and it kindled against David, and he said, "Why have you come down, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil in your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? What is it not but a word? Have you turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way?" And the people answered him again as before. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you're but a youth, and he has been a man of war since his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep the sheep in his father, used to keep the sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of the mouth, and he rose against me, and I caught him by his beard." Let's just pause right there. I don't know about you, but if a lion's coming at me, I'm not trying to catch it by its beard. I'm trying to not use the bathroom on myself as I'm running away. You know what I'm saying? That's just me, though. David's another man. Anyway, he caught it by his beard, and he struck him, and he killed him. "Your servant has struck down both the lion and the bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped a sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "Hold up, man, I can't go with these. I have not tested them." So David put them off. It really doesn't say, "Hold up, man." I ad-libbed that part just in case you were wondering. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Here starts the trash talking. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the hosts, of God of the armies of Israel, with whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down, and I'm going to cut your head off, and I'm going to give your dead body and the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all the assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came, this is a key verse right here. "And when the Philistine arose and came near and drew near to David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell flat on his face to the ground." Just think about that a moment. The Bible tells us that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And for 40 days, Goliath just stood there, made fun of Israel, made fun of God, made fun of everything that there had to do with God. And as he went out, he went face first, and he went face first into heaven, giving all glory to God, saying, "You are real. I was wrong." And then he's burning in hell forever. Verse 50. "And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran." He was ready for this part. "He ran over and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled." Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you give it to us to learn to grow closer to you. And God, we just pray that as we look at this passage in Scripture, that we know that it ties together to a bigger picture with you and redemption, and that you are there for us. And God, we just pray that as we look at the life of David and in this account, we will realize that in our own lives, we have some giants before us that we need to be a little bit bolder with, that we need to talk a little bit of trash with, that we need to be bold in you, knowing that you are for us and not against us. And God, I pray that as we look at this, that we will be able to reflect a mirror in our own lives and see those things that are holding us back from moving forward for you and moving forward in our relationship with you. And so, Lord, we love you, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so just to break that down, that's a lot of stuff, and I kind of stopped halfway through because I'm out of shape and I got out of breath just reading. Not really, but that's okay. I am out of shape, but anyway. Let's just break it down a little bit, okay? You have a big ugly dude challenging Israel army and then being afraid. A junior high age David talking trash and the rest of the Israelite army looking at David like he's crazy. That's basically what we just read. And then David goes and he kills him. Yeah, they thought he was stupid. The next slide should say that, okay. Saul says that you're too young. Saul was like, hey, David, okay, you can go. Wait a second. No, you can't. You're too young. Goliath was a man of battle from his youth. Not that he was a novice of battle, but he was a man. He knew how to fight. He won. He's going to kill you. Saul already played it off. He was like, there's no way that you're going to win. It doesn't matter. You're done for. But David said, no. I'm going to go anyway, and I'm going to give my best. I'm going to give my best with what I have and what I know. That's a sling and a stone. He just got done telling him. He's like, hey, the lion and the bear, man. I killed him with my bare hands. You think I'm scared of this guy? Not going to happen. Even if I die, I'm still going to give my best in the effort of doing it. But I'm not going to stand here and let this guy talk any longer and defile my God while everybody else that says they trust and believe in my God just sits back and does nothing. Even you, king, do nothing. I'm not going to sit back any longer. I'm going to do something about it. All right, let's move on. Verse 48, this is key. I love this verse. It's awesome. When Goliath arose to come to battle, it says, David ran to meet the Philistine. He had no fear, second thought, of what God was going to do. He had already told him, he's like, hey, the same God that delivered me out of the hands of the lion and the bear is going to deliver me from the Philistine. So when the time came, he was like, let's do it. And he ran towards the Philistine. I don't know about you, but that would be tough. That would be tough to do. All right? And if you read a little earlier in the passage, it says that the battle was in the valley. But if you can imagine this with me, there's a valley and there's not two sides in the valley. That was where they battled, but they were on each side of the valley. Okay? So you're up top. Anybody ever tried to run downhill before? Nobody? I challenge you to try it someday. See if your feet can keep up with your body, okay? So David, after he gets these smooth stones and he's ready to go, and he says that he runs towards the battle. I'm not coordinated enough just to run down the hill without falling, but he runs down the hill quickly, as fast as he can, reaching in a pouch, getting a stone, loading a slingshot, swinging it around, and throwing it before Goliath can even pull his sword out of his sheath. He was ready. He said, God's with me. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I have this ridiculous faith that tells me that no matter what happens, God's going to take care of me. I wish I had that sometimes. I already talked about that. This is where it says, oh yeah, by the way, cut off his head with his own sword. I just like that part because as a boy, you like those kind of blood, guts, and gore movies and stuff. And people say the Bible's boring, and there's a lot of really cool stuff in here that you can be like, well, this guy actually cut this dude's head off. And a side note, I told the kids one day in junior church, somebody had a comment like that, like, you know, what's cool in the Bible? And correct me if I'm wrong, because you guys may know the name, but I believe it's Jehoshaphat, or it's J something. He was a really, 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 and I'll say the word, it's probably not right to say, but he was a fat king, all right? And he couldn't even move. And there's this story where you guys remember this? Where they stab him in the stomach, and then like number two comes out everywhere. And the kids just lost it. I told them that was a great story. They were like, oh, that's awesome. Except some of the girls, they were like, eh. But nonetheless, they heard about a poop story in junior church. All right. So tonight's a little different. I like videos. I like media, that kind of stuff. So I have a clip from you. From a movie that came out several years back with the same title called Facing the Giants. And in this video, you're going to see a couple parties where they face an obstacle in which that he doesn't think he can accomplish. And in this particular video, I want you to just think about your life. Think about what is in front of you that you might be struggling with, or what's in front of you that you might be afraid of that's coming up. And think about, you know, how you might get over that. Because when we look at David and we look at Goliath, we see David, who he's already at that point where he's ready to take on the giant. He's ready to slay the giant that is before him in his life. And he gives us a great example to do it with blind faith in Jesus, because he knows that he's there with him. So just take a moment. Don't just chill out in space, but try to pay attention. Try to pick out some key words that are said in this that applies to maybe what you might say when you're going through a hard time in your life.
All right, let's go. Show me something. 10 yards. Move it. Let's go. Let's go, Matt. Let's go. Let's go, Jonathan. Show me something. 10 yards. Show me some power. No knees. Keep your knees off the ground. Show me something. There you go. 10 yards. Show me some muscle. Show me some power. Give me some heart. Let's go. Very good, boy. Very good. Let's run it back.
Oh man, it's not even funny, dude.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I don't want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left, a little bit left. There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Am I at the 20 yet?
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. I'm just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it.
That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm by his strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit. No. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Brock Kelly, you don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Go, Brock Kelly. You don't quit on me. No, you keep going. You keep going. Go, Brock. 10 more steps. 10 more. 10 more. 10 more. Keep going. Don't quit. Give me your heart. You can. You can. 5 more. 5 more. Come on, Brock. Come on. Don't quit. Don't quit. Come on, Brock. 2 more. 1 more.
It's got to be 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field in your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
So the question that you have to ask yourself after watching something like that is, one, did he really do it? No, I'm just kidding. What giants do you have in front of you that you have to face? Now for him, they're used a sports metaphor because he's like, how good is this team? Well, I wouldn't say that if I knew that we were better than them. So he already defeated himself looking forward to something that he had to face in just a few days. All right, so for you, maybe it's the fear of man that you have to face. It's finances, an addiction, trust, sickness, death, a job, friendship. Maybe there's a change coming up that you just are afraid of and you don't want to do that. Whether it's you're having to move or your job's changing or whatever the case may be, there's something that's going to happen and you're just not quite ready to take that on. We're no different than Brock in this movie, right? There's times in our life when we're going through things and we, you know, they were screaming it for the dramatic feel, but you may be crying out to God, God, it hurts, it burns, I'm out of strength, I don't have any more strength to go on anymore. It's heavy. That's why he says, give it to me. It's too hard, I can't do it. It burns, it hurts. It's too heavy, and you keep saying these excuses, and God's like, just give it to me. I'm right here. Run towards it. It's okay. God's in the corner just like the coach. He's yelling at you. He's like, give me your best. He's screaming your name. Go, Tony. Go, Pastor Mark. You know, I'm not going to scream like him because I'll mess up the speakers. But he's in your corner and he's like, I want you to give me your best. You know what I mean? Sometimes I think we view, we talk about salvation and we tell people, hey, we don't want you to just have fire insurance and say that you want to accept Jesus so you don't have the fear of maybe burning in hell later in life. We don't want you to just buy fire insurance. We want you to invest in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Sounds like we got a lot more time to go because I don't want to go out if it's raining like that. But the same applies when we have a situation in our life that's upcoming that we're fearful of, that we want to do better at, or that may be something that we've already pushed off to the side and we said, you know what, God, I can't do it. I'm done with it. Sometimes we view God as this magic pill that we want to say, okay, just because we've accepted you and we have a relationship with you, everything should be fine now. And when it doesn't become fine, we get mad at God. And we're like, God, why would you let us go through this? God, why would it be okay that this happens to me? Well, God's not a magic pill. He doesn't have a magic potion that you can drink to make everything okay. He's standing there and he says, you have to give me your best. Give me your best. Give me your faith. Give me your trust. Give me everything that you got so in turn I can take you and carry you the rest of the way. But he's not going to baby you. He's not going to say, okay, you do nothing and I'm going to do everything. Folks, if you never work on your relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not going to have one. Yeah, sure, you might go to heaven, but you're not going to have a relationship with him here on earth. It's not instantaneous. You know what I mean? It's not a microwave faith. It just doesn't happen. You have to work on it. You got to go for it. So the question is this. As Jeff comes up and probably Miss Susan gets ready for invitation, I want you to think about this. God knows the giants that you're facing. He knows it hurts. He knows it burns. He knows that it's heavy. He knows that you're about out of strength. But he's standing there. He's like, come on, just keep coming. Give me your best. Give me your best. Because what's in front of you is, like Pastor Mark says every Sunday, is abundantly more than you can ever think, ask, or dream. Because he's ready to do that for you. So just like David, he sat back and he heard Goliath just go crazy and make fun of God and defy all the armies of Israel. But when it came time to face that giant, when it came time to do it, what did verse 48 say? Anybody remember? It's two words. He ran quickly. He didn't say, you know what? Let me just pray about this again to make sure that I'm supposed to do this. He didn't say, well, let me just think about it. I'll get back to you next week. He ran quickly towards the situation because he knew he had that ridiculous faith in God to know that if he delivered me from this, he's got me here. And if he's got me here, he's got me here. And so in your life, too often we forget to turn around and look back and say, all right, God, I can see your hand. You brought me through this and you directed my path here and you brought me here. But instead, we're looking here and we say, I don't quite know if I can deal with this. That's too hard. Where in essence, that's baby stuff compared to what you went through 5 years ago or 20 years ago. God's got you. You just have to keep moving forward. You have to run quickly towards it. So that's my challenge to you. Are you going to run quickly? Or are you going to be the Israelite army that just sits back and says, somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to take care of it. you know what, God? I just don't feel like dealing with it. I'm just going to sit here. Whatever happens, happens. You know, and this is tough, right? This one's tough. God, I'm just going to come to church and sit in the pew. Whatever happens, happens. God, I'm going to come here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. But other than that, whatever happens, happens. That's hard to hear. Why is it hard to hear? Because I do it sometimes. Just go through the motions. And you're lying to yourself if you say you don't do it sometimes. Because we all do. We get lazy, we get complacent. We lose that vigor like this junior high age David had, where he was just talking trash to everybody and ready to take on the world, and he goes and slays the giant before the nation of Israel. So you have a giant in your life. Are you ready to slay it? Are you ready to run quickly towards it? That's the challenge. So stand with me if you would while we pray. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. And God, we just pray that as we look at our lives, we know that there are challenges, there are things that we're facing, financial hardships, relationship problems. God, maybe it's our relationship with you. We're just struggling. God, maybe we feel a tug at our hearts for us to do something, and we're just a little afraid to do it. God, let us not be afraid to face that giant. God, let us run quickly towards whatever it is, big or small, knowing that you are there with us. And so, God, I pray that as we are all here and have made the conscious decision to come here, that we've made the decision to come here because we needed to hear from you. And God, I pray that you might have used me, even if just for 5 seconds, to say the right sentence that somebody needed to hear. And God, I pray for this time of reflection and response that you will just be honored in it and allow us to follow you in whatever it is. We love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name.